here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. BT is adding anti-junk call filters to their phone service. An autonomous transit bus is being tested in Las Vegas. Dell's latest laptop is $100 cheaper if you buy it with Ubuntu. Yahoo wants to change its name, and Google has revealed how they secure their cloud infrastructure, and it includes some clever custom-built silicon. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Here we go. I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of January 18th, 2017. BT recorded more than 31 million nuisance calls in a single week before Christmas and is doing something about it. The company supplies 40% of the landlines in the UK. BT is now launching a new service for its customers, which it says could block up to 30 million such nuisance calls per week. Called BT Call Protect, the system monitors call data to identify rogue numbers. It will, for example, highlight phone numbers that make an unusually large number of calls. Those calls will then be automatically diverted into a junk voicemail box. The system will continue to block such callers even if they change their number, a common tactic used by solicitors. Customers will also be able to identify nuisance callers that get through by dialing a code after receiving such a call. TalkTalk introduced a similar central call blocking system for landlines 3 years ago, while Vodafone operates a system for mobiles. Super cool idea. I wonder if you can just dial a code after somebody calls you and you don't want to talk
Wouldn't
to them anymore.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
Except as long as it just keeps them from calling you again.
Yeah. We have this problem on our Magic Jack where we get constant solicitors calling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big problem. And we've got a particular solicitor that calls every single day. Drives my wife nuts.
You know him by name, no.
Yeah, it's FDR.
Oh, yeah.
We called Magic Jack and said, you used to have this service to block a particular number. Do you still have that? And they said, no, they don't have it anymore. So we're looking at, you know, can I build a device with Raspberry Pi, right, that intercepts the calls,
That's interesting.
Filters them, and then rings the in-house lines.
There might be something on GitHub or just the code. There might already be out there.
Absolutely.
It has actually really hurt my workday before because if they get our number and they start calling, sometimes they'll call at 45-second intervals. Like they're calling and then calling.
Oh,
and I work reception at a very busy chiropractic clinic.
Yeah.
I need the phone.
And you've got to take the call.
Tied up. Yeah.
I'm a programmer full-time. I sit at a desk and I code. And there's nothing like answering the call and it's some solicitor or robot. And now I've lost 15 minutes of my day in the 2 seconds that it took to hang up on them because I've got to, okay, where the heck was I in my code here?
Right.
I got to go back over the stuff I was doing and figure out where I was.
Right. So
drives me nuts. So we got to build a system. This is going to be an upcoming feature. I promise you that. Raspberry Pi or some other device where we can filter phone calls by phone number. How's that sound?
So BT's got it going on.
Mm.
All right. A small autonomous bus called an ARMA is running a short route along Las Vegas' Fremont Street, marking, according to transit operator Keolis, the first time a self-driving bus has moved passengers on an American public road. The route is short, just 3 blocks, and this is only a pilot test, which started a week ago and will end on Friday. While the test lasts, the fully electric bus can carry around a dozen passengers moving at a top speed of limited to 16 miles per hour, though the bus is capable of hitting 30 miles per hour. The bus has sensors that detect obstacles and an emergency button that any passenger can use to stop the vehicle. During the test, there's also a staffer on board to monitor passenger safety. That's a really great idea. Navya, the French company that makes the Arma, has already deployed vehicles in Singapore, France, and Australia. Nevada has a strategic interest in developing transportation technology. The state could benefit from easier long-distance transportation to gambling centers from California, while autonomous vehicles like the Navya bus could provide flexible transportation for visitors once they make it to Vegas. I like this idea. I like that it's regulated, but it does remind me of like just a street elevator. And I think to myself, if anybody could in any way stop the bus at any time by pressing a button, you don't want like 6-year-olds on this bus.
No.
Because they would just like continuously.
Look at what happens when I start pushing buttons. Yeah. Well, screen like goes black, mics turn off.
You're like Will Ferrell and Elf. You just make it a Christmas tree with the elevator, right? You go in and push every single button.
Yes, right.
Exactly.
I'm dealing with this.
You're dealing with that.
Yeah, but we got this.
Yeah, really cool. It's exactly like an elevator on the street, an autonomous bus that goes.
Could be smart. Yeah. Could be good. I do like that it keeps people who have been drinking at the casinos off the streets.
Right. That'd be a pretty good job to be the actual guy who sits there. Just
security
all day,
guard
just
to
sit
make
there
sure.
on the ride the bus all day. No,
it's like the guard on a steam train. Like,
yeah, no. Well, it makes sense for now, especially with the technology still being new. But like we see all these other companies, like you said, Arma is on the, like France and all these other countries. Yeah. But we also see other companies like Uber who tried their self-driving. It was shut down, as far as I know. For
now. Probably still doing it in the back
in some
roads.
Parking lot, yeah.
But that's even like a sweet looking bus. Like that's a cool.
That's pretty
looking
cool.
Bus.
Yeah, you got. No hands. You gotta say that's pretty nice.
I like it, and you know what? It's kind of secure in its own in the fact that it's so visible. It's not like people could just be on that bus, like
yeah.
just doing things they shouldn't be doing. It's you can see in it.
Hands to yourselves, people.
Exactly. So. There's security on board.
It's like a grade school dance, right?
That's nice. Right. Okay. When in Vegas. Dell has announced the immediate availability of the Dell Precision 3520 laptop, and buyers can save over $100 by choosing Ubuntu 16.4 LTS preloaded instead of Windows 10. Yay! Dell's Barton George says more Ubuntu-powered Precision workstations will go on sale in the coming months worldwide, including an Ubuntu version of the company's stylish new Precision 5720 all-in-one desktop PC. Unlike other vendors, Dell doesn't ship their Linux option on no-frills reduced power hardware. All models in the Dell Precision lineup pack powerful 7th generation Intel Core and Intel Xeon processors, support USB-C Thunderbolt 3, and can have up to 32 gigabytes of RAM. Wow. The Dell Precision 3520 is available now.
Nice. That sounds like a sweet mobile workstation, which is basically a laptop that is built for business.
Right.
For the business.
For the business.
About
save
time.
Money.
You can
save money
can save
and
money.
Get a better system.
Get a really sweet system, here's the thing. You could save your $100 because you probably already have a computer that came with a Windows license, even if you wanted to put Windows on it, maybe dual boot or something.
Oh, yeah.
My laptop, my desktop, they all came with a Windows license. Mm-hmm. So what's to stop me? I'm going to upgrade my laptop. Let's buy this brilliant new Dell and take the license off of this one, put it on there, install, and kablam, right? Mm-hmm. I've still got Windows and Linux dual booting, but saved $100.
At the same time, though, it's really exciting because it's... Do you think... I'm not saying that mainstream's a good thing or whatever, but do you think it's also going to make more users of Linux because it's coming pre-installed?
Right.
Right?
It certainly could.
People maybe because it's going to normalize it, people won't be so scared of Linux. I work in a place where some of the people I work with are afraid of Linux. Like it's...
Only by name.
Yeah.
Not
they don't,
by actually
they
using
They don't
it.
Actually use it. They're just scared to make the switch.
They do
they
use
understand.
It, but they don't know that they use it. And that's the thing. A lot of your devices already have Linux on it, and you don't realize it. So then when someone says, hey, we'll sell you a computer with Linux on it,
you're like,
oh,
I don't know that.
I don't know how to use that.
Right.
Well, but technically.
And then I say, hey, watch my show.
Yes.
Well, Sasha, technically you could be considered an astronaut then, because NASA uses Linux now on the space station, right? Because they scrapped the Windows computers
up
there.
Yeah, they sure did, yeah.
So technically, Sasha, you could apply to be an astronaut because you know how to work a Linux computer.
There you go.
Oh,
that's all it takes to be an astronaut,
go to real space. No. Little
fun
fact.
I might not be a bad astronaut.
We just offended a lot of astronauts.
I actually could not do it. I'm a people person. There's not very many people out in space. Okay.
So far.
Yeah, that's just now, Sasha. That's about to change.
Space tourism.
All right. Yahoo revealed in a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission that the company would change its name to Altaba after it completes its transformation from an actual business to a corporate wrapper around Alibaba stock. If all goes as planned, CEO Marissa Mayer would step down, the board would be trimmed, and Altaba would simply continue to exist as a way for investors to own a chunk of a non-controlling interest in a Chinese e-commerce company. Whether that transformation happens as the result of a successful sale of the Yahoo Internet portal to Verizon or some other less desirable outcome has yet to be determined. It's still far from a sure bet that the Verizon acquisition will go as planned. The change to Altaba, apparently some non-trademark infringing sort of reference to Alibaba, in which Yahoo holds a 15% stake, depends on the completion of the sale to Verizon of Yahoo Holdings, the new corporate wrapper for its internet business. Verizon initially offered $4.8 billion to Yahoo for Yahoo last July, but the deal was in doubt after it was revealed that Yahoo had failed to disclose a huge security breach in 2014 to customers and Verizon. A second major breach dating to 2013 was discovered later. We reported on both.
We sure did.
Verizon, you did.
You go.
Good job.
Verizon's plan for the Yahoo brand isn't completely clear, other than it would be somehow aligned or merged with AOL, which Verizon acquired for $4.4 billion in 2015 and is still in the process of assimilating. Given that Yahoo's management is not in a position to go look for a better offer, Yahoo would have to pay Verizon a $145 million termination fee to walk away from the table and find another buyer, and there isn't exactly a long line of people looking to make a better offer, it may end up having to settle for whatever Verizon decides is a purchase price at this point, or wait for Verizon to walk away from the deal. Verizon has already reportedly knocked $1 billion off of its offer.
Oh.
$1 billion.
Sasha, we've talked about this before. It's $1
billion. Oh, yes.
The correct pronunciation is $1 billion.
Okay, Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just, it is what it is when you lie about your stuff. You get $1 billion.
Well, does anyone still have a Yahoo account after like all those hacks?
I was surprised to find that, I did, because I used Flickr.
I was about to mention that too, is that I'm an avid user of Flickr as well. So it's like, what's going to happen to us, right? So
Dave has one. That's his main email is Yahoo.
Time to move on, Dave.
Yeah.
I know. He really likes his email address.
And this is why the price is going down, is because users are saying, okay, I don't trust this anymore.
He's like, I don't use my email for anything. I'm fine. He likes his email address. It's fine.
There you go.
Google has published an infrastructure security design overview that explains how it secures the cloud it uses for its own operations and for public cloud services. Revealed last Friday, the document outlines 6 layers of security and reveals some interesting factoids about the Alphabet subsidiary's operations. None more so than the revelation that we also design custom chips, including a hardware security chip that is currently being deployed on both servers and peripherals. These chips allow us to securely identify and authenticate legitimate Google devices at the hardware level.
Neat.
Yeah. The silicon works alongside cryptographic signatures employed over low-level components like the BIOS, bootloader, kernel, and base operating system image. These signatures can be validated during each boot or update. the document says, adding that the components are all Google-controlled, built, and hardened. With each new generation of hardware, we strive to continually improve security. For example, depending on the generation of server design, we root the trust of the boot chain in either a lockable firmware chip, a microcontroller running Google written security code, or the above-mentioned Google-designed security chip. The document goes on to explain that Google's fleet of applications and services encrypts data before it is written to disk to make it harder for malicious disk firmware to access data. There's plenty more in the document, like news that Google's public cloud runs virtual machines in a custom version of the KVM hypervisor. If you're interested in seeing the document for yourself, you can access the master at cat5.tv/google-security. I love information like this. It just makes me feel far more secure. All right. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.